Good evening. This is Derek Alatorre with South Coast AQMD. We're going to begin the conference call again. If you have questions, please submit them to publicadvisor@aqmd.gov. We'll do a round of introductions.
Swain Astry, Executive Officer.
Jill Wynot, Chief Operating Officer.
Derek Alatorre, Public Affairs and Media.
Kurt Weiss, the General Counsel.
Jason Lowe, Monitoring and Analysis.
Amir Dezbach, Engineering and Permitting.
Susan Nakamura, Planning and Rules.
Patrick Chandler, Media Office.
Ricardo Rivera, Public Affairs.
Sheriff Snyder, Compliance and Enforcement.
Matt Miasato, Science and Technology Advancement.
Thank you very much. The first briefing update we'll get is from Legal, and that'll be Mr. Kurt Weiss.
So I have basically nothing to report. The situation is status quo in terms of Aniplex and aircraft.
Okay, thank you very much. Next, we'll get an update from enforcement, and that'll be from Dr. Sheriff Snyder.
Good evening. We continue to have a field presence in the city of Paramount. We have inspectors positioned to be able to respond promptly to air quality complaints that we receive. Last week, we issued two notices of violation to Carlton Forge Works for creating a public nuisance, first on Tuesday, January 24th, and then again on Thursday, January 26th. That brings to a total of 11 the number of notices of violation that we have issued to facilities in Paramount since we began our enforcement sweep efforts back in November. So at this point, 4 NOVs have been issued to Carlton Forge, 2 to Aniplex, 2 to Aerocraft Heat Treating, 2 to Procast, and 1 to Golden State Engineering. We've also issued, as you know, notices to comply to a number of facilities, a total of 61 at this point in time. Some of those were issued directing facilities to obtain permits to operate for various kinds of equipment, including plasma arc cutters and a paint spray booth in one case and a couple of internal combustion engines. Of those, 14 that we had looked to obtain permits, 8 have removed equipment from service, and the other 6 have applied for permits with this agency. That concludes my report.
Thank you very much, Dr. Snyder. Next update will be coming from monitoring, and that'll be Dr. Jason Lowe.
Good evening. The results for samples that were collected on Sunday, January 22nd, the levels of hexavalent chromium ranged from 0.08 to 0.77 nanograms per cubic meter. Samples were also collected on Wednesday, January 25th, and the results showed that for the 3-day rolling average that was at site number 8, for which Aerocraft was under curtailment, indicated that 3-day average fell below the 1.0 nanogram per cubic meter level. So the curtailment had ended based upon that data. However, on that same day, sites 13, 14, and 15 showed levels of hexavalent chromium that were above 1.0 nanograms per cubic meter. Site number 13 was recorded the highest reported value of 2.3 nanograms per cubic meter. However, when we looked at the 3 sample average of the monitors near Aniplex, they were all below 1.0 nanograms per cubic meter. We collected an off day, off schedule sample on Thursday, meaning before, as you may know, we were collecting samples on a 1 and 3 day basis. We did one extra sample collection on Thursday, January 26th, at sites number 8, 15, and 19. We recorded the highest measured value of between those 3 samples at site number 15, which is near Aniplex, and the value is 1.51. The other sites were well below 1.0 nanograms. We also want to report the samples that were collected on Saturday, January 28th. They were all well below the 1.0 nanogram level, ranging from 0.1 to 0.6 nanograms per cubic meter. All these results are posted on the website. And this does still maintain that the three-day rolling average for Aniplex, which showed the slightly higher values, still remains at 1.0 nanograms or less. Recent samples collected from the schools from January 22nd through the 25th ranged between 0.06 and 0.1 nanograms per cubic meter. The samples are being collected today as we speak, and the results will be finalized later this week. And that concludes the monitoring report.
Thank you very much, Dr. Lowe. Our next update will be from Susan Nakamura on Rule 1430.
Hi, this is Susan Nakamura. For proposed Rule 1430, it is a rule that is regulating metal grinding and cutting at metal forging facilities. We have a working group meeting scheduled for tomorrow at 2 o'clock, and we will be releasing a revision to the proposed rule language tomorrow morning along with the draft staff report. This rule is scheduled for board adoption on March 3rd.
Thank you very much, Susan. Our next update will be from Amir, and he'll be giving an update on permitting.
Good evening. During last week, engineering staff had discussions and worked closely with both Aircraft and Aniplex on installation of temporary and permanent controls to reduce chrome emissions from their operations. Aircraft has already filed application with district for installation of temporary control equipment until permanent control devices can be installed. Aniplex is planning to propose temporary controls in the next week or so for district to review prior to installation of their controls. That concludes my report.
Thank you very much, Amir. Next update will be from Public Affairs. That'll be myself. Last week, our executive officer, Wayne Nastri, and myself met with Assembly Speaker Rendon to give him an update on the Paramount investigation. It was a good meeting, and we got some good feedback from him. He wanted us to ensure that we went ahead and notified the cities of any notice of violations, not just Paramount, but any other cities, just to give them the heads up about some of the issues we may have in their own cities. And that's my update. Next will be media, and that'll be from Patrick Chandler.
There's nothing new.
All right, no updates there. That pretty much concludes our update. Again, if you have any questions, please submit them to publicadvisor@aqmd.gov. We'll be waiting for emails. Okay, we got a question from Robina. I believe I heard you say that some of the facilities that were identified as having no permits removed some equipment. However, can you please help me understand, if this is accurate, why other facilities that still have not have approved permits are being allowed to continue to operate? If I misunderstood, please do not hesitate to correct me. Thank you for all you're doing. So I'll let Dr. Sharon Snyder answer that question.
Thank you, Derek. Good evening, Rubina. Yes, what I had indicated previously was that when we had issued the 61 notices to comply, a subset of those were directing facilities to obtain permits with us that did not currently have those have permits with us. Many of the permits would have been for plasma arc cutters at a number of different operations. We also had requested that a couple of facilities obtain permits to operate for diesel-fueled internal combustion engines. There was a paint spray booth as well. I think that was pretty much it in terms of the range of equipment that we had directed folks to apply for permits for. Of those 14 facilities, 8 of them actually removed equipment from service, decided that they were not going to operate that equipment at all. and so removed those items from their locations. And the other six that I mentioned had either, there was one that needed to file with CARB for an application for a perp engine. There were a couple of other applications that were submitted, one for a paint spray booth, couple for plasma arc cutters, and that's pretty much it. So these are the facilities that we had visited during our inspection sweep that started in November of this past year. And so of those facilities, these are the ones that had issues dealing with permits.
This is Jill. I think if I may, I think her question is, why are they still operating when they did not have the permits? So can either you or Amir talk about our process and a temporary permit to operate?
Sure. The facilities that have in fact submitted permit applications to us, once we receive those applications, they in essence serve as a temporary permit to operate, and so they're allowed to continue at that point. If we in fact revisited facilities, and we will, that told us that they were taking equipment out of service and removing them from their operation, and we find that equipment back there in an operation, they will receive a notice of violation.
Thank you, Dr. Snyder. Again, we're waiting for emails. If you'd like to submit an email, please submit it to publicadvisor@aqmd.gov. Say we got a question from Lisa Lappin. The question is, how many metal companies are there in Paramount in addition to the 80 that the City of Paramount advised SCAQMD of? City of Paramount showed a slide of companies that added up to 176, including companies that AQMD discovered through walking door-to-door information from the community and the ones AQMD already knew of. How many of these use metal? Assembly Speaker Rendon said that the City of Paramount failed to do their job by not enforcing their own permitting and licensing requirements. Can you explain the protocol for what the city should do when a company using toxins sets up operation in their city?
This is Cheryl. Let me address your first question, Lisa. We had inspected an inventory of probably about 194 companies total, and of those, we're still trying to get additional information about some of them where we've not been able to find anyone there at the premises to be able to enter and learn more about their operation. So, given that, there are, in addition to the facilities that the City of Paramount had identified, we already had some in our permitting system. And of that list of about 194 facilities, about 109 of them are engaged in some kind of metal handling or metal working operation. About 73 of them we found were either not engaged in metalworking or were out of business. And then there's a difference of maybe about 11 facilities where we're still trying to ascertain the nature of that operation. So I hope that's helpful information to you.
Okay, and then the second part of your question, Lisa, is what can the city, or can you explain what the protocol is for the city should do when a company using toxins sets up operation in their city? I think I could address that. So typically when we have requested that the city, and we're going across our basin to ask the other cities to do this, but when a city comes to open up a business, we're requesting that they get a letter from us, either stating that they are, it's called a clearance letter, and basically it states that they do not require any AQMD permits. If they don't get that letter from us, then they are going to be required to get AQMD permits. And at that point, it's up to the city if they want to issue them the permit before or after they get the required documents. So that answers that question. We got a question from Norma Ruiz. When Rule 1430 is adopted, how soon will it become effective? Will the paramount air concerns be addressed at the AQMD board meeting this Friday? If so, during what part of the agenda?
Hi, this is Susan Okamura. For proposed Rule 1430, it's scheduled for adoption on March 3rd, and there's provisions that some of them start from date of adoption. So one of the key provisions is that facilities would be essentially prohibited from grinding in the open air, and they would be required to start their grinding, if they are grinding in the open air, in a temporary enclosure.
So how soon will it become effective?
Some of the requirements, they vary, but for the pollution controls, because there's an air quality permit that's required, they would submit, they have 60 days to submit their permit, and then within 6 months from approval of their permit, they have to complete construction of their air pollution control equipment.
So is that 60 days from when
The board adopts the rule.
Okay, thank
That's
you.
That's correct.
And then will the paramount air concerns be addressed at the AQMD board meeting this Friday? If so, what part of the agenda?
Hi, this is Susan Okamura. The paramount air concerns are not on the agenda for the February governing board meeting. So if it were to come up in any discussion, it would be in any type of open comment.
This is Jill Wynott. I just wanted to add, what you might see on the agenda is what we call a set hearing, and that basically is notification to the public that at the next meeting the board will consider the item. So you might see proposed Rule 1430 on a set hearing, and that's notice that the documents for that hearing would be available. But we have an air quality management plan coming up on Friday, so it will probably be a very long meeting. And so if someone was planning to testify under public comments, it would be a long afternoon, just to let you know for planning.
All right, thank you very much. Again, if you want to submit questions, please submit them to publicadvisor@aqmd.gov. Again, we're waiting for emails. If you have any questions, email them to publicadvisor@aqmd.gov. Okay, got a question from Lisa Lappin. Will the distance for sensitive receptors change from 300 feet to 500 feet for homes and hospitals in the language of the rule that will be discussed tomorrow? As for the regulations that you discussed about a city's responsibilities, has that always been your protocol? A few weeks ago, I asked if any city had enacted more stringent regulations and was told no, but recently saw LA City Council did make rules to help impact the communities. Do you know more about this? So do you want to go ahead and talk about the first question?
Yes. So this is Susan Nakamura. In regards to your question for the distance for the sensory receptors under proposed rule 1430, we are releasing a revised draft of the proposed rule, and the distance will be increased from 300 to 500 feet for homes and hospitals and other sensitive land uses.
All right, and then as for your second part of your question, Lisa, as for regulations that you discussed about city's responsibility, has that always been your protocol? We have always reached out to the cities and asked them when they're new, when the new businesses try to go and get a permit from the city, that they also get a clearance letter from us. And that's really up to the cities how they want to implement that. Your second question, or your third question, is a few weeks ago I asked if any city had enacted more stringent regulations and was told no, but recently saw that LA City Council did make rules to help their impacted communities. Do you know more about this? I'm not aware of any.
Yeah, this is Susan Nakamura. I'm not sure what that's referring to. My guess would be a program called Clean Up Green Up. And so we can research that and get back to you.
You might also want to check with LA City directly and see what information you can find. I mean, we're not aware of that here.
Again, we're waiting for questions via email. Please submit them to publicadvisor@aqmd.gov. Okay, Rubina, she submitted a question. Can you please clarify if early education, preschools, early Head Start, and Head Start have been added to school definitions in the rule? Thank you.
Hi, this is Susan Nakamura. Yes, in the revised draft of the proposed rule, for the definite, we actually dropped the definition of school and just incorporated the reference to school directly into the rule, and then also added preschools, early Head Start, and Head Starts.
Okay, got another question from Lisa. Question is, how many companies in Paramount you found to be using toxic metals or materials were unpermitted with SCAQMD? Are they all in process of being permitted now?
Okay, once again, when we did our sweep, we found that there were 14 facilities that had something to do with metal-related operations that did not have permits for the equipment that we found on site. Had they been using that equipment at the time of our inspection, they would have been issued a notice of violation. However, at the time of our inspection, we just observed the equipment on site. It was not operating. We directed facilities either to apply for a permit to operate or to remove the equipment from the facility. In 8 cases, the equipment was removed, and so they are now operating without permits, but they don't need permits for what they're doing since they no longer have that equipment. There were then 6 facilities who were required to take some action, either filing a permit application with us, or in one case, to apply to the California Air Resources Board for registration for a portable engine. And these facilities have all complied with those directives. So they've submitted permit applications in the case of five facilities, and have actually, I believe that they were filing an application for a change of ownership with CARB for the PERP engine. So that's it.
Okay, we're waiting for questions. Again, at publicadvisor@aqmd.gov. Okay, Lisa Lappin submitted a question. What about the companies that are not answering when you check? Does the city have no knowledge of who owns these companies?
When we went out to do the sweep, the enforcement sweep, we actually had with us representatives from a number of different agencies, including the city of Paramount. And there were some addresses where there was not any signage outside. It was very difficult to tell the nature of the business. We were not able to gain access. It appeared in some instances that no one was there, but we had tried nonetheless on numerous occasions to try to gain access there. So without going back and looking specifically at the list of locations where that happened, I'm not sure I could give you anything more definite. I'm happy to do that if you would like that information. And we can cross-check with the city to see if their records would indicate that there is some entity there that we're unaware of operating. But when we've gone back and checked, it appears as if there is no one at that facility, or has been no one at that facility at the time that we have stopped by. And we're in Paramount a lot.
Okay, Lisa Lappin, isn't it possible that criminal activity could be going on there? And then could you report those sites to the DA's office, please?
We have no way of knowing what kind of activity, if any, is going on at those facilities. If you have concerns, you might wish to contact folks from the city of Paramount, perhaps code enforcement, to see if they could respond to your question directly.
thank you very much. Looks like we're not getting any other phone calls or emails, so appreciate it. We'll see you again next week at 6:30 on Tuesday. Thank you.